And this is what he says in Philemon. If you'd like to stand with us, we invite you to. You don't have to, but we invite you to. In chapter Philemon, verse number 6. He says this, there's Paul writing unto Philemon. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Let's read that again. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Would you help us pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, to say that this day has been a good day is an understatement. It's been better than good. Lord, you met with us this morning. I saw folks under conviction. Some come to the altar. And Lord, it's not about who comes and how many comes or if anybody comes. Lord, I'm reminded it's not the act of coming to the altar so much. It is, Lord, Father, the effect that it has after they've been there. And Lord, the effect that your word has upon our heart. And Lord, I pray tonight that your word will just continue to do so. I know your word is quick and powerful, Lord. But Lord, it's our hearts that's the determining factor, whether or not if we'll listen. It's hard sometimes in a world of a lot of noise, Lord, trying to distract us from you hearing what you have to say. But Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we'll give the more earnest heed at which of the things that we will hear. Not only will we hear them, Lord, but we'll be a doer of them. Lord, Father, as we end up this wonderful day that you have made, and we have rejoiced and glad in it, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, Father, that we not take our foot off the pedal, but we keep our mash down to the floor, and Lord, Father, we'll finish up this day praising you. It's in Jesus' precious name to humbly pray. Amen and amen. The key word in that verse that the Lord laid upon my heart is the effectual. And I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes words catch me, or I get my eye will catch words when I'm reading. And sometimes I'll try to go on, but that word just sticks in my mind. So what I do is I wind up looking up the definition. And effectual is basically having the power or the purpose to cause an effect. And I'd like to say this evening, that's what I want to be in my life, is effectual. The days that I walk upon this earth. Paul's writing to Philemon because Philemon had been effectual. He had an effect, a purpose. He had a servant that run off. His name was Onesimus. And the Apostle Paul was writing Philemon the reason of this letter. First, he acknowledges and he commends Philemon for his labor and his faithfulness. And then he talks about the servant that ran off. And he said, I hope and pray you don't, you know, think less of him. He said, because he's helped me, he's refreshed me, he's been good. And he'd be good to you to take back. And can I say this, oftentimes we get the wrong idea and look at things as Brother Josh opened up. We don't war against one another. We shouldn't fight against one another. We should be uplifting and provoking one another, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, to love and to good works. I was sitting there thinking about this, and I saw the sign out there, and I made a little comment to Sister Christina. I said, she done spoiled the message for Sunday. Said, spoiler alert, the tomb is empty. But you know what? That's a good thing to know. I'm glad everybody knew that before we come to Sunday morning, Brother Mark. I'm glad that we know, not only by knowing it in our head, but we know it in our heart. And can I say, because it's had an effect in our life. And I want to say this, we need to have a positive effect on one another. Need to have an effect on others that are around us. Need to be effectual, purposed, and driven in our life and having the power to do so. I'm reminded that in the world that we live in today, there's more and more people that seem and deem to be religious. And there's more and more people that seem to think that they have the market or cornered the market upon how to be the Christian. I was talking with Brother Brad. He comes on Wednesday nights. And Brother Brad, on Sundays, he doesn't get to go to the church where he wants to go. He stays in the prison and he teaches and he preaches unto those prisoners at Lebanon Correctional Institute. And he said this, he said, preacher, you'd be amazed at the people that come in there and they preach to these people. He said, you'd be amazed at the effect that they have on them. He said, and the effect is not a good effect. He said, so it's hard for me on Sundays to get them turned back to the place where they see Jesus and him crucified and resurrected. And can I say this? That everything about our lives should be pointing towards that which happened
on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. But not just that, but that he also got up again. I'm reminded, as Brother Millard said at the nursing home, I often think about this, and I guess one preacher had the guts to do it. I just never had the guts to do it. I've always thought about doing it. As you find them crucifixions in churches and places where Jesus is upon the cross, and he walked up and took the figure that was supposed to be Jesus off the cross and said he's no longer dead, but he's alive. And I thank God that he is. I'm glad the effect of what he did those years ago is still affecting me. Is it still affecting you tonight? Is what Jesus done upon the cross of Calvary still affecting you tonight? Is the empty tomb still having an effect in your life tonight? And can I say this, because whether we realize it or not, we are having an effect on somebody's life. And the Apostle Paul is addressing here in Philemon. He talks about the effectual that he should have. Can I say this? First of all, there's a way that you should not be effectual. The word is ineffectual. Or some folks would say, is it the same as effect or in effect? Well, can I say this? Effectual means there's a purpose behind it. There's a power that comes with it. And oftentimes we don't look at it, Brother Eddie, but if we're saved, there should be a purpose behind our effectiveness. Absolutely. The purpose that we should have behind us and the things that we should do and the power that's behind us is, A, the power comes from the Lord. And the effect is to put the light upon the Lord. Am I listening to the preacher? I'm reminded, because I thought about this, and I remember Brother Terry Pace preached this years ago at a revival meeting. And he said, I never understood why that when the Lord saved us, he just didn't take us up to heaven. And why the Lord, when he saved us, just allowed us to sit upon the pew. He said, but he saved us for a purpose. He saved us, Brother Eddie, that we would be a type and a figure and have an impact on the lost and dying world as his son had an effect upon us. So if you have it, whether you're male or whether you're female, whether you're a boy, whether you're a girl, that we should bear in our body, we should bear in our likeness and bear in our character and attitude the image of Jesus Christ. Why? So people may see him and want Jesus in their life. I'm reminded as we preached this morning that crowd that followed Jesus on his way into Jerusalem on the Palm Sunday parade, when they had the palms and the garments laid in the way, it was people who heard about Jesus. It was people who was told of the miraculous things that Jesus done. Maybe they ran across the man of the Gadarene, the crazy man that was in a tomb. Maybe they ran across the widow woman that was from Nain, and she told them all the things that Jesus had done. But somehow, someway, they heard about the Lord, and what they said had an effect on those people, and they had to come running, and they was so moved by the effect of Jesus being the crowd that they was willing to sacrifice, they was willing to labor, and they was willing to praise. Can I say this evening, how our character is, how we move about through and about the land, through and about our days, is a main thing when it comes to purposes life, when it comes to purpose of life. I thought about this, I used to say it quite a bit, Brother Eddie, but the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is to lift up Christ. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. I know the hyper dispensationalists and the hyper theological people say, well, preacher, that happened back in the days of Calvary. But can I say this? That's what's wrong with the United States of America today. Nobody's lifting up Jesus no more. So therefore, no man's being drawn. They just think, I just come as I am and leave as I was, because I'm still in a place called the United States of America and we're just a godly nation. I beg to differ, friend. You can see the effectual working of the power of negativity, the power of tearing down the church, the power of tearing down God's word, and trying to tear down God's people has had an effect in this country. And God help us today, if the judgment of God has not already passed and the wrath is soon to come, the punishment for the ways that this country has turned from God. Y'all listen to the preacher. I'll say it again. There's nobody more red, white, and blue than I am. I love that Stars and Stripes. I love the bars. I love everything. Support our Navy and pray for our president. But God help us, Brother Eddie. We've become more apathetic. We've become more numb to the fact of God's ways and God's principles in our life. It first happened in the home. It happened in the church house. And no wonder it spilled over into the White House and the Congress and the House of the Senate. But friends, can I say this? I'm glad there's forgiveness in Jesus. I'm glad there's power still in the blood. And I'm glad that empty tomb still promotes and proves something, has an effect in the life of people. I've heard some people say this. They say, preacher, what's the winning? What's the recipe? What can we do? What kind of program? What kind of denomination will it take to rescue the United States of America? And I say, there is no program. There is no denomination. Brother Eddie, there's nothing but Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. It's the only help for our country. It's the only help for your home. It's the only help and hope for your kids. When Samantha got up and started to sing, "There is hope," and she began to crack in her voice, and her cheeks began to flush, and tears well up in her eyes. Now, can I say this? I don't know about anybody else, but there is always hope if that hope is in Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, when would we be not? I like what the writer Hebrews said, "In my hope, which is the anchor of my soul." Oh, bless his sweet name. I have a hope in Jesus Christ. But can I say there is ineffectual? There's people who make a wrong impression. There's people, and there's a purpose behind it. I find in Scripture, in Hebrews, Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." I find more and more people chasing after a man, or chasing after a woe man, or chasing after something that's been man-made, and they follow that thinking that's the next big thing or the next greatest thing that should happen, the next fad or the next propaganda thing that's going to be high on the list of people in society to make the change in society. If I had a dollar for every time somebody rose up and said they was the second coming of Jesus Christ, somebody help us. You know, I think after a while, I think the news caught on to it after Jim Jones and David Koresh. There's a bunch of whack and crazy jobs out there. I mean, for some reason, I don't understand, but that's how powerful the wicked one is, Brother Josh. For Jesus even told him and said, if they say, "Lo, he's here, lo, he's there," don't you go. Somebody say amen right there. And there's a lot of people walking around saying they're Jesus Christ, and they ain't Jesus Christ. I'll say this tonight, but there is a way that we should avoid, the ineffectual way. If you'd like to jot this down, Proverbs chapter number 1, that's where I want to read at from the first place in Proverbs chapter number 1. You ain't got to read with me. You can jot them down in your margin. But there's a way that we should not walk. There's a way that if we walk this way, it'll be ineffectual. It will cause the wrong kind of purpose. It will cause the wrong kind of effect on people's lives. The writer of Proverbs is writing in chapter number 1 and verse number 10. He starts off by saying, "My son." He's addressing to his children. He's addressing to the love. He's addressing to his home. And can I say this? That'd be the best place to start. Start in the home. Daddies, start with your kids. Start with your wife. Somebody say amen right there. We need to start in the home. Start with yourself. He says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Don't go running with the sinner. Don't go running with their ways. Don't get caught up in the things that they're doing. I know it's not popular, Brother Eddie, but I still think it's right preaching. He says, do not consent them with them. Verse 11 says, "If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse." And verse 15, he says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Can I say this? They're having an ineffectual problem, an ineffectual impression upon our lives. I've sat there and said this morning, I said this in Sunday school class, Brother Eddie. I said the biggest reason why, and some folks may think I'm just wanting to browbeat people, but there's times, Brother Eddie, you know what I'm talking about. There's memories and there's scars and there's wounds of sin that just don't heal. They just don't go away. They just don't leave you alone. The flesh won't allow it. The devil won't let it happen. And we're trying our very level-headed best. When the Bible says to you young people, worship the Creator in the days of thy youth before the long and hard, rough days come. Why? Because they do come. I told them this, and they kind of looked at me. I was crazy. I said, the devil really don't want nothing to do with Jason Faulkner. It's not like I'm some kind of powerful preacher and I can walk up and sock him in the eye and give him a black eye. He just looks at me and says, "Jason, you're old, you're fat, you're stubborn. I can't do nothing with you. You're just set in your ways. But if I can get your children, if I can get your wife, if I can get that younger generation, get a hold of them, then I can wreak havoc." And I told him, look at Daniel chapter number 1. When Nebuchadnezzar got them children of Israel, the first thing he wanted to do, he said, "Give me them young people. Give me the young, the bright, the fair, the beautiful, the ones who can do things, the ones who's kind of smart. I want them young people." Oh, can I say this, young person, if sinners entice thee to go with them, don't you consent to go with them. Don't walk in the ways with them. Oh, I'll say that their effect on your life will not be good. It'll be negative. It'll cause you to look a different way. It'll cause you to walk out of the path of the Lord. It'll cause you to be doing things that you ought not to do. Is anybody listening to the preacher? Mom and dad, you ought to be hollering and shouting amen. Sick them, preacher. Get on them, preacher. Oh, can I say this? I was a kid once too. And Brother Eddie, I'm about to go to Jubilee and take one of my youngins with me. I said, now on Friday, I want you to realize something. We'll be sitting in the pew from around 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll break for dinner, and then we'll be sitting in the pew to about 5 or to 5 o'clock. We'll break for something else. Then we'll be sitting in the pew till 10 o'clock. Not a padded pew. We're sitting in an old pew with no padding on it. I said, but it'll do you some good. Your backside might get numb. Your back might get stiff. But the preaching and the worshiping you'll get to be a part of, you'll remember all the days of your life. I remember hearing some of these people that's been saved for years and saved at a young age tell them testimonies how God made a way in their life and how them saying that God's made a difference in their life. Do you know that was a positive, effectual impression that was made upon these people? And I don't know about anybody else. I'm glad my kids come to Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'm glad my kids are in the midst of this church. I want them around people like Michelle Phelps. I want them around Sister Becky. I'm glad I got to meet Sister Maxine. I want them around Sister Maxine, Sister Lucy, Sister Sharon. I want them around all of them. I love it that Sister Sharon's teaching my boy in Sunday school. I just think it's just wonderful. That's some people that has an effective life. There's something effectual about their life, a purpose behind their life. See, am I hearing this, preacher? I'm about to have myself a fit up here thanking God for them who's made a way for all of us. He says in Proverbs 1, don't get into their ways. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23, you got to protect your heart from being in those ways. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, so does the mouth speak. It's very important to make sure your heart is guarded. Y'all listen to the preacher? I'll never forget, there's been many a people. I'll never forget the first time we was in a vacation Bible school, and they asked the pastor if he would teach a lesson. And you'll be surprised at what they asked the pastor to preach upon. They asked him to preach upon mixed marriages, mixed marriages. They asked the pastor to teach on that in vacation Bible school. I see Sister Michelle Phelps' eyes cock up. That's the way I thought too. I was like, man, y'all don't think less of me. I got to sit in this one. I got to see the fireworks fly. I got to see them really get really rip out. Y'all listen to the preacher? Tell me you wouldn't want to sit in that class neither. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the one teaching that class. I would like to sit in that class. I like what the pastor did. He did not be enticed by what they wanted him to teach upon, about the mixed marriages, because there were some knuckleheads wanting to prove a point. So instead of going to what race, religions, and everything that, the first thing he hit was Moses and his wife from Ethiopia. Yeah. Head man right there. The second thing he hit is being not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And man, that vacation Bible school class turned upside down. You should see people that was mad as far. They said, you can't say that. You can't do it. It's lovely how God works and turns things around. But Brother Eddie, I'll never forget. There's many of people that I saw that when they would get upset over things such as that. But I'll never forget. I know of a fella right now hooked up with somebody. He hooked up with that person. He was told, said, you don't need to go that way. You don't need to go that far. But I love her. But I love her. Can I say this? There's a lot of things I love. I love shotguns, and I love pickup trucks, and I love bass boats. But if I want to keep the love of my life close to me, I ain't going out buying shotguns and bass boats on my own. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah, you better holler amen. But I'll never forget, I told him, I said, and they even come to me, I said, you're too young, you don't need this. There was something bad, there was something not lining up, there was no power of God in that other person's life. There was no effect, a positive effect. There was no effectual working of God in their life. They couldn't withstand it. They just flesh wanted desired fulfillment. And they kept going and kept going. They got married. Next thing you know, the one who used to sing and praise Jesus and the one who did not want no part of Jesus, that one did not pull this one into church. This one pulled that one out of church. Destroyed life. And now see the effect of what happens when you don't guard your heart. Can I say this? If it's not God, don't let it around your heart. If it's not the Lord, if it's not Bible, if it's not promoting Jesus, if it's that nasty music that's enticing you to go here and there. I made a joke. We talked about this, and I don't know why God brung it up, but we all found out. We all love Sammy Kershaw. Remember the rose, the redwood deck, and the polyester curtains. Can I say this? But often, too many times, we'll allow things that we don't realize is not having a positive effect. And it fills our heart with things that's not godly. And so why are we surprised lives, when we hit down ourselves, when we wake up one day, we're on the road of destruction, on the road of persecution, on the road of torment, and say, why did we wind up here? Because we made a wrong turn somewhere along the ways. Guard your heart with all diligence. Keep it, for out of them are the issues of life. Third thing that you got to guard against so you could be effective. Go to the book of Haggai. Go to the book of Haggai. Go to the book of Haggai. Chapter number 1. Chapter number 1. Verse number 5. This is what the prophet says. He says, now therefore thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Are they effective? Are you having a purposed, powerful effect on people's life? Starts in your life. Spills over into your family's life. Makes its way into your church life. Has an effect in everybody else's life. The prophet says, consider your ways. Notice what he says. You have sown much and you bring in little. He said, you eat, but you have not enough to eat. You have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. He says, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. The children of Israel took a break from following the Lord. Outside circumstances told them to put a pause on some things. So what they do, they begin doing things on their own. Had a wrong effect. People may not like this, but the Lord doesn't have a pecking order. He has order. God is the author of order. Y'all with the preacher? Some folks don't like the order. I'll never forget working at the brake plant. We was in that cage. We called it the cage. There's two people in the cage, and people would bring you parts. I'm standing there, and this one come up, and she goes, I don't like that preaching. I don't like your preaching that way you believe. Make a woman cook and clean and barefooted and blah, 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 blah. And she just get me down there. I don't know why she went off on me. I have no clue why she went that way on me. I'm like, hold up, I never told you nothing like that. Well, your wife's got so many kids. Of course, they know everything about your life at the plant. Somebody say amen. Everybody at work knows everybody's life. They gossip about everything coming and going. Blah, 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 blah. And she said, I just think it's the wrongest way to live. I said, miss, you got it the wrong way. It's not that I make my wife do A, B, and C. But my Bible tells me to love her as Christ loved the church. And she is well willing to submit to the authority of the husband. Right? That's Bible. Somebody say amen right there. That's why we have an ineffective marriages a lot of time. Because the roles get reversed. I don't know why I'm preaching on this. Y'all help me out now. But I never forget old Denise, little Denise. She's from Lebanon. Sweet, sweet gal. She was older than me. She's standing there and she just had a way of talking. I said, Denise, she said, yeah. I said, if there's a man that told you he loved you, he treats you like a queen, think nothing else in the world but you, puts you right up, take care of you, and treats you like Christ does the church, would you have a problem being submissive unto him? She said, where's he at? What's his number? That's what she said. I just sit there and turn around and look at her. I didn't go, ha! I just turn around and look and go, there you have it. The problem is that we don't consider our ways. We think God's ways is not the right ways, and we think our ways is the right ways. And can I say this? God says my ways are not man's ways. My ways are as high as the heavens are above the earth. And I often find out, Brother Eddie, that when we follow into our ways, we do things we don't consider what we're doing. We don't consider how we're living. That means take a pause on how your life's going. Take a pause on how things is working out. What's the effect that it's happening upon my home? What's the effect that it's having upon my spouse and my kids? What's the effect that it's having on my church? If I don't consider my ways and I come into this church, what's the effect I'm having on the church as me being a member of this church? And I find that there's ways that we can be ineffectual. But Paul is commending Philemon, if you'd like to get back to the verses, on his being effectual. I find in the scriptures here in Philemon, verse number 6, I find that we should be always effectual when it comes to our life. I find that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 9, we find that the Apostle Paul says, I'm not going to come by this way no more, not for a long, long time. He said, for I'm going to Ephesus. He says, because there's been a door open and effectual, and mighty are the adversaries. What he was saying was, is I got an opportunity to go to this place. I got an opportunity to walk through this door and preach, but there's a lot of people who's going to be fighting against me. There's going to be a lot of people who don't like it. There's a lot of people who's going to be coming against me. But the Apostle Paul, can I say this? That's what we ought to be praying for, is that effectual door. The purposed effect that would happen. Paul's purpose was to go preach the gospel, Brother Eddie. Paul's purpose was not to bring glory to himself, but Paul's purpose was to preach Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. He said, if I glory in anything, I'm going to glory in the cross. I love the fact that the Apostle Paul talked about that door. But I also find in 1 Thessalonians, if you'd like to flip here, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13, this is what the Apostle Paul said unto them in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. He said, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul was saying that that preached word that he preached, it was in power, but it wasn't his words. But the Thessalonican church, they took it in and said, that's the words of God. And they believed it. And Melissa, it had a positive effect in their life. Y'all listen to the preacher? Wonder why sometimes that word of God doesn't have the power that it used to have. You ever wonder that? You said, preacher, the word of God has the same power. Then how come we don't see the same effect? Right? I find here that when the Apostle Paul is talking about that word, the word of God having its way, having its effectual working of the Lord, the truth of the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe it. That means he said it's still working in them. I'll never forget, the Bible says in the book of James, he said the gospel, which is the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. I'm glad that word of God is still working in my life. I'm glad it's still having that positive effect. I'm glad the preacher that preached, I can't forget him. I'm glad it's not just him, but it was the words that he preached, for that it was the power of God working through him. There was a purposed effect of what he was doing. He wasn't just trying to have an effect. He had a purpose about what he was doing, and it made an effect in his heart. We find the Apostle Paul says, I got me a place where I'm going, where the door is effectual. That means I can have a purposed effect. I want to remind you in Thessalonica, that word of God that had a purposed effect and still working in your life. And I'm reminded of what James said in chapter number 5. He said, confess your faults one to another. He said, and pray one for another. That's what James said. Y'all listen to the preacher? He says, because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He said that effectual fervency. He says, I've got a purpose. We should have a purpose when we get down on our prayer. We got a purpose in our heart to make a difference in people's lives. I sat there, and me and Brother Don go back in that woman's, in that young lady's room, and her mom's standing there. And I don't know, did she tell you? I guess that mattress is laying on the floor because she's probably sleeping in the bed right next to her daughter. I mean, what a mama's love. She ain't giving up on her daughter. She don't care what the doctor says. She said, I'm sticking with God, and I'm hanging with my daughter. And on the TV, they got a picture of her and her daughter. I only see her daughter, Sally, as being one of them ones who can't speak, can't respond, just blinks her eyes, and she's all curled up in a ball. She's in the hospital bed. But when I look at that picture, she's a young, vibrant, attractive young lady. And how quickly life can spin just like that. How quickly that looks can be changed. How quickly that our life can be turned upside down. But can I say this? Ain't nothing too big for God to get a hold of. Ain't nothing too wrong, nothing too bad that we can't have an effect in a person's life. I don't know how Don felt, and I don't know if we've done much good, but she really appreciated the prayers that we prayed with her. She really appreciated the visit that we prayed with her. And Brother Eddie, if God takes me home tonight, if God takes Don home tonight, we'll never see that woman again. If maybe God takes her home tonight, maybe we part ways and never see. I'm glad we had a positive effect in her life trying to make a difference. Y'all with the preacher? I thought about this. I'm trying to get back to Philemon. Y'all pray for me, because I said I wasn't going to keep you long, and I'm winding up keeping you long. We was talking at work. We was walking around, and we was talking about people having impressions, leaving a lasting impression in their life. And I was thinking about that, the things that's had a lasting impression in my life. My wife don't like it when I bring this up, but it's not for an insult. This is just something for me. I still got the same wedding band on that I had the day I got married. Tammy doesn't like it because my fingers haven't grown. I don't retain water. And I can still wear my same wedding band. It's not an insult. I'm just saying I'm glad I still got the same wedding band on. I don't take it off. Y'all listen to the preacher? I don't take it off. Before I got saved, that wedding band meant something to me. But it means a whole lot more today than it did 24 years ago. Did you remember we were married 24 years? Oh, man, what's wrong with you? Did you spend your memory up at Target, too? About maybe five. I can count less on my fingers how many times I've had the wedding band on because I had to clean my hands. A couple of times I got it hung. People said, y'all take it off or you get your hand ripped off. My finger ripped off. I said, I'll take my chances and get my finger ripped off. I know what they're talking about. I'm not saying their words ain't wisdom. I know what it means to my heart. But if this ring comes off, my finger looks different. It don't look the way that it did when I put it on. The skin's whiter than it is the rest of the finger. There's an indention on my finger. It's left an impression. Over these years, it's made a difference. I wear a wristwatch. Not too many people still wear a watch. But come through the summer, if I take my watch off, you'll still think I got a watch on because my arm will be like farmer tan, trucker tan, and I'll have a white wristband around my. The watch has left an impression on my life. And I thought about all the saints that I have come across that's left an impression in my life. The way that they've walked, the way that they've carried themselves, their character. We was in the ICU waiting room with Sister Sharon and Lisa and Vicky and Paul, and I was with Eddie. And of course, I felt like a kid in the middle of the family reunion. Listen, boy, if you heard some of them stories them Talbot girls was telling. Sharon's back, her face turned red. But I got to hear some of them stories, and I felt kind of privileged. The impression that the effect they've had on each other. Used to, church, when you got around church, it left a lasting effect. The effect that should take place on each other. Paul said that the communication of thy faith, you know how hard it is to communicate faith? It's hard to tell your kids about your faith. It's hard to tell your spouse about your faith. Don't take this the wrong way. I mean, it's like pulling a hen's tooth for me as a pastor to communicate faith to you. But I find that the communicating of my faith is not with words, but it's by the effectual working that faith has had in my life. The impression that faith has had in my life. Y'all understand what the preacher's saying? The Apostle Paul told him in this, he said in verse number 6, he said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. First is communication. How you deliver it, how you let people know. I find the best way that you can find is that you can live it. You can show the account of what has happened by faith. And you said, preacher, what do you mean show the account of what has happened by faith? I find in the very next book, in the 11th chapter, I find that by faith the worlds were made. I find by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God. I find by faith Enoch was translated. I find out without faith it's impossible to please God. I found out by faith Noah, being warned of God, built the ark. I found by faith that Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he should, after receiving inheritance, he obeyed the Lord. I find by faith that Sarah in herself received strength to conceive and bear a child when she was 90 years old. I see that these all died by faith. I find that Jacob, by faith, was dying. Blessed both sons of Joseph. I find by faith that Moses chose to go with the children of Israel, then enjoy the pleasure of sins for the season. You can go on down through Hebrews chapter number 11. Talks about Rahab. Talks about women's children being raised back from the dead. I mean, by faith, by the effects of your faith, it shows up in your life. Can I say this? We have a generation now, and I'm trying my very level-headed best, Brother Don, for my kids to see and for my wife to see the effect of what faith has in my life, that my communication of my faith might be effectual and have an effect in their life to say, oh, Daddy believed. Daddy believed no matter what it was. Come, sink or swim, live or die, and that he was still going to trust in God no matter what, because God said so, it was going to happen. I find the days and times that we're living in, so many people's quick and ready to throw in the towel. Folks are quick and ready to end their own life, say it can't get no better. I say what we need to do is tell everybody and show everybody how effectual that the faith of God can be in the lives of the believer. Y'all listen to the preacher? I mean, sometimes we'll sit there and say, pray this and pray that. I like what Sister Becky said. She said, I ain't giving up, I ain't quitting. I'm going to pray for Chris and pray for Chris and pray for Chris. Even if he don't come, even if he don't like, I'm still going to pray for Chris. I'm going to do the same thing with my mama. I'm going to do the same thing with my brother, my two sisters, and my nephews. I'm praying. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. Even if I leave this world, my prayers will still be ringing on throughout the annals of time. Why? Because I know that God will answer them by faith. Used to, them old timers, Brother Eddie, they'd get in that garden and pray for that crop. I think I shared this one time. That first garden I planted out in Blanchester, just out in Harlan Township, I couldn't help it. Something just got a hold of me. I don't know if it was to see if it would work or not. Sister Maxine got on my hands and knees in broad daylight and stuck my hands in the dirt, and I began to pray over that garden. Now, y'all may think I'm crazy. Jim Center showed up with 100 tomato plants. I don't know if that was the prayer or if that was just Jim Center saying, I need to get these tomato plants, and Jason's a dumb hillbilly. He doesn't know no better. Planted greasy grits and half runners. Now, you may think I'm crazy, and some folks say, it's just a... But I believe this. My greasy grits produced so much beans, and my half runners tried to overtake the greasy grits, you couldn't see the dirt in the garden. My whole garden was covered. Tomato plants, Brother Johnny, everywhere. Early girls, early boys, early girls, whatever they're called. I don't like them. Better boys, early girls, think that's what they're called. I like celebrities. Celebrities are good tomatoes, get about that big around. Sometimes they get a little bigger. They ain't too sloppy and mushy pudding like on the inside. They ain't too meaty like a beefsteak. I like them celebrity tomatoes. I'm getting hungry too. Big old mater mayonnaise sandwich and bologna sandwich. Sounds good. Where was I? Wasn't you listening? I lost you too. See what happens? Blindly to blind, we both wind up in a ditch. I wanted to prove that the prayer by faith can work. Can I say this? Oftentimes we allow too much of this world to rob us of how powerful our faith is. He said that the communication of thy faith may be effectual. He says the positive effect that your faith should have. And I brung it up before and I'll bring it up again. I still remember last year's revival up at Cornerstone. Brother Toby was led of the Lord. He was preaching on prayer. He said, when's the last time you asked God to give you somebody to pray about? And I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. Y'all don't look at me different. I don't think I've ever asked God before then to give me somebody to pray about. I just always thought there was people to pray about. Y'all, the preacher? He said, ask for God to put somebody on your heart to pray about that was in that congregation. He said, and here, if you want somebody to pray for you that's here, you pray about that and you go to them and ask them to pray for you. So I sat there and I closed my eyes and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And God gave me two people to go tell them that I was going to pray for them. I went over and I grabbed them and I hugged them and said, I'm praying for you. God gave me you. I'm going to pray for you. I know how much it means for you. I don't know. And then four people come to me and want me to pray for them. It's like, man, ain't I busy enough with two people over here? But this is what I found. Almost every day now for a year. God won't let me forget those six people. My prayer list is pretty long, Sister Sally. But God won't let me forget those six people. Used to that effectual working of that faith. He said that the communication of your faith become effectual. And this is what he said in the second part. That the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. He He said, it's not that it's you, but it's Christ in you.